Buongiorno, everyone. It is that time of the week again.
It's beer time.
It's also podcast time, but mainly beer.
Right.
Really.
Forgot we're doing one of them.
Yeah. Well, it's just an added bonus.
What's happening this week?
Football, mainly, unfortunately.
Yeah. Can we change subject? Beers?
Beers, aye. We'll just run through beers. What you got there?
It's a good question. What have I got? I have the Cult Leader.
Classic
5.5% Mosaic Pale Ale from the Anarchy Brew Co.
Oh, Mosaic Pale Ale.
Lovely. Why is it the Anarchy Brew Co.? That's where we are.
That's where we are. That's right. Aye. We are here live and direct from Anarchy Brewery. You can see in the background there. Normally, where we're looking now, you can see the massive tankers. We've turned around here in the fantastic settings of Anarchy Brewery.
And it is fantastic.
It is. It's very fantastic. And for you listening on Spotify and stuff, thank you very much. Make sure you leave a 5-star review. You can catch a podcast on all audio platforms as well. But in this week's episode, we're going to talk profit and sustainability rules.
Oh, yeah.
First of all... I mean, I say we talk there, and we're going to talk them very lightly, because who the hell knows what they mean? Do they mean Newcastle can spend more money? Does it mean anything
Probably
else?
Not.
As always, get your questions in the live chat and see one straight away there. How sacked before the end of the season? Question mark. We'll answer those towards the end. We've got our topics in line, so obviously going to do a quick reflection, not much, on Chelsea last night. No need for that.
Yeah.
We don't need to do that anymore.
Skim past.
Skimsies. The news of Anthony Gordon's proposed long-term injury that's been leaked on Twitter tonight. Let's see how real that is. We'll talk about that. And we will touch on Eddie Howe's feature as well. But first of all, the profit and sustainability rules. The Premier League had a meeting yesterday to discuss these apparently coming into force this summer. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read out.
I think it was as early as this summer, isn't it?
As early
if
as
it
this
means
summer.
Anything better for you at all, then speed it up, please. Come on.
But from what I got so far, it just looks like it's just going to help the big clubs. But for now, let's read through it then. So the Premier League's profit, good start, isn't it?
Start again. Great.
Yeah. Premier League's profitability and sustainability That's rules are to be replaced as early as this summer. You got it right? Exact words. Yeah. Someone read the article. I'm doing it right now. The new system will be aligned with the UEFA's squad cost ratio rules. So new regulations will not affect the ongoing cases of Everton, Forest and Man City, who are obviously facing points deductions. The latest rumour is, you know, Everton could get another 2-3 points after being handed back a few points. They're going to get a few more taken away. Tell me the point of that, please.
Did they have 10 points deducted and now it's only 6?
Now it's 6.
I thought it was. I thought I was going fucking crackers. I must have missed that news because I was looking at the league the other day and I seen like 6 points deducted and I was like, I'm sure it was 10.
I dreamt it was 10.
I'm absolutely positive it was 10. So at least I'm not going crackers. No. I don't know how I missed that news, but no. At least I was right.
What they're saying now, though, is that they're going to dock off another 2 or 3, though, just to level things out a bit because they've missed something else.
Well, straight away, I think the day after the news of the 10-point deduction, not the 6-point deduction, they was like, oh, they could be getting over something else. Can I catch a break, these toffees?
Yeah, may as well just get rid of the toffees. And get rid of the Forest as well, really, because Nottingham Forest are facing a good 6 points, apparently, as well. That could come into force.
Man City,
it's not like they've signed 43 players in the past year. So, don't know how they thought they were going to get away with that one. But Man City as well, obviously. Now they've got 115 charges looming. But as always, it seems to take a long time, doesn't it? Compare Everton and Forest. Bang, straight away, there's your charges.
I know.
But if you're Manchester City,
It has been donkeys, to be fair, though. Because weren't they meant to get a... It must have been about 2019-2020, I'm sure I remember seeing news. I remember because it was like an old place that I worked. I remember seeing the news that they were meant to be getting like a ban from the Champions League or something like that.
I
think it did, but then it got
too long, so it kind of got wavered.
How long has this been? Like, this obviously, no one wants to touch Man City, they feel like they're untouchable, even though they know they're corrupt. It's not going to do that, would it?
No. Just keep winning everything. Just keep winning trebles back to back and do what you want. Anyways, let's get into this article and what they are saying on Sky Sports. So, in line with UEFA's financial sustainability regulations, the Premier League will limit clubs participating in European competitions to only spend 70% of revenue on transfer fees, wages and so on. So the changes, apparently so far, 70% is what you can spend. So if you make 70% on revenue, that's how much you can then spend on transfer fees, player wages, and so on. The Premier League has been looking at a model enabling clubs to spend 85% of revenue on squad costs. So a little bit more than that 70% that UEFA allow, with a sliding scale of penalties in place where clubs exceed that ratio, points deductions. However, there is no guarantee that the new financial model will be signed off at the league's annual general meeting in June. but they are confident of it being done. If approved, we just said that the new rules won't affect those clubs that are currently in investigation, Forest, Everton and City. So a Premier League statement at the start of the week yesterday. Shareholders meeting today, clubs agreed to prioritise the swift development and implementation of a new league-wide financial system. This will provide certainty for clubs in relation to their future financial plans and ensure the Premier League is able to retain its existing world-leading investment to all levels of the game. Basically, they know that if they had another window like they've just had in January where no one could spend a penny, then all the big players may start moving abroad, less eyes on the Premier League. The big managers, like Klopp is this summer, may think, oh, you know, it is. I fancy a bit of Real Madrid now, to be fair. Like.
Yeah.
Fancy a bit of the Spanish League. Germany are going mad. They're sending Eric Dier for money. Do you know what I mean? They're not mad over there. So,
for money.
They're thinking, you know, if the Premier League can't compete, they're going to have to change the rules so they can't continue to attract the biggest and best players. That's the main reason for this so far.
Yeah.
So, the Premier League also reconfirmed their commitment to securing a sustainably funded agreement with the EFL, subject to the new financial system being formally approved by clubs. The league and clubs reaffirmed their ongoing and long-standing commitment to the wider game, which includes $1.6
billion
distributed to all levels of football across the current three-year cycle. So, the women's game, football league, all of that. So, let's just wing through some of the rest of it, because a lot of it is to do with the EFL clubs and stuff. So, would potential new rules only benefit Premier League's big clubs? This is what chief reporter from Sky, Cava, had to say about it. The financial rules can be changed because the clubs are unhappy with them. Premier League clubs don't want to give more money away to EFL clubs when they don't know what their own situation is going to be. They need to replace PSO, the new financial regulation system, self-interest for the Premier League clubs. They feel PSR, as they exist at the moment, are not fit for purpose, which we've talked about on the pod before. Haven't we? We've said, you know, it's dated, it's not working, it's not, inflation's happened, nothing's changed when it should have.
Like 20 years.
Exactly, 20 years, and it's still the same 105 mil over 3 years. Crazy. So what else is he saying? Because he is waffling quite a bit, yeah, Cava?
Yeah, it's a big article.
Big old waffle article. How the new pros would work, which is closely linked to UEFA's rules. Premier League clubs only spend up to a maximum of 85% of your revenue on transfers and wages. That sounds like it could be fairer because at the moment we've got a system where you can't lose more than 105 million over a three-year period. Only allowed to spend a limit of 85% of your revenue on players and wages if your revenue is 700 million. You'll be able to spend 595 million on players and wages. So that's where we can get our revenue up to 700 million. Can Adidas just pay with 700 million?
I know, literally.
But if your revenue is only 100 million, you'd only be allowed to spend 85 million on players and wages. So that right there is the issue. So
that is just as corrupt as the previous rule.
There you go. There's the big six only winner, because Manchester United, one of the biggest teams in the world, they're bringing in 500-600 million a year. They can pretty much spend 400 million on players. Newcastle are even worse off, like an Everton, for example, or a team that comes up, or a Bournemouth. Bournemouth, right? Their revenue is probably around 100 million, 200 million.
Probably.
So how is anybody ever going to catch these big teams?
Yeah.
You're never, ever going to be able to compete with the big boys when they can spend 500 million because the revenue is higher, but the smaller teams can only spend 80 million, 100 million, 120 million. How are you ever going to catch them up? How are you ever going to break in that top four?
Yeah, I know.
And that's when Newcastle are at the minute. They're trying to break through, but you've got to think, you know, if our revenue was, what, was it 250, 250 million, I think it was last year? So we could only spend, what, 180, 200, something like that. So again, that's completely different to where your Chelsea's and your Arsenal's, they're making 500 million plus.
Yeah, easy.
So they can spend double, triple what Newcastle can, and they're already above it. So how are we ever going to catch them up?
And for teams like Man United and Liverpool, who's been one of like the leading teams worldwide for decades, like back like the 70s, 80s, like massive worldwide interest in Asia. Man United's huge in Asia, Australia, America, like all over the world, because they've been doing it for longer at a higher level. So they're more like a franchise. They're just this big brand that you'll see, like Drake will wear like a Man United top or something in a video or something like that. Like, he didn't give a fuck. He doesn't even know who Man United are. He doesn't know who fucking Rasmus Højlund is. But that's it. That's just, it's just a brand to them. It's like wearing like a Yankees hat.
Aye.
Like that, they're that big. Like that's what that is. So they're going to spend more.
Basketball jerseys.
Exactly. Like, has anyone watched, like, I had a Yankees hat when I was younger. I'm sure most people probably did because it's a big popular brand. Has anyone watched a Yankees game? It's the same fucking thing. Like, that, just these big, massive global brand franchises. Like, no one gives a fuck. Like, but that's how they make money. Like, people will see them. Like, if someone wears, like, a Man United top in a music video, or, like, if it's fucking Beyonce or something like that. But, like the Asian market's massive, and Man United's always had a massive Asian market. Like, Tottenham, like, it's kind of smart, kind of what people have done. Like, Man United had Park Ji-sung, then moved on to Shinji Kagawa. South Korea with Tottenham and Heung-min Son.
Very clever doing that.
It is smart, but obviously they're getting good players. It's not just, let's just go and sign an Asian kid. Like, you're getting like the best players. Obviously, Son was massive. Park was big when he came to Man United. Kagawa was decent. But it's more than that. Like, they already know the fan base is there, so they're just diving into it more. And it is smart, but like you say, like the littler teams, like a Bournemouth. Small stadium, small fan base. Like, how the fuck are they ever going to compete with that? Like, it's like a Luton or anyone trying to come up. Like, it's just never going to happen. Like, it just makes things worse. Like, when you read it out loud, like, when you see it written down, you're just thinking, like, how's that helping anybody but the big teams? Feeding the rich.
Rich get ruined, the poor and get a fucking thing.
Yeah, literally stealing from the poor and giving to the rich. Like, that's all it is. And I don't know what you said about there, about, like, the Football League teams, but this is why they're feeling like your Berries and like your Boltons and your teams down there that's really, really struggling financially. How's this going to help them?
Aye.
Like, this whole thing was meant to... I heard something that Premier League teams were meant to sort of give a percentage or something to help towards, like, the Football League. Like, everyone should be doing that bit. Like, seeing teams, like, go out of business, like a Berry. Like, it's sad, that, man. Teams are, like, hundreds of years worth of history. But sorry, because Man City's going to win the league for the next 15 years.
Ah, we'll just keep it the way it is.
Like, fucking hell. Like, it's mad, man. The rules are just absolutely tapped. Like,
because you mentioned teams coming up now. Like, Leicester are apparently going to get a points deduction when they get promoted.
Congratulations, you're promoted, but you're already relegated.
Congratulations, but you're starting the season on minus 10 points. Good luck.
Cracking. Massive incentive, that is.
Now, like, a yo-yo team, isn't it? Because
kind of way to get promoted to start on minus 10 points.
Now, obviously, the promoted teams are... right in the bottom three mix, especially Sheffield United and Burnley, they're gone. They're going to go back down, and they'll probably come back up. They always do. Yeah. And even now, the teams that went down last year, Leicester and Leeds, look, they're going to come straight back up. So the Premier League's just, and where City are on course, obviously, is a three-horse title race at the minute, but there's no stopping them from winning double travels, back-to-back travels, which is insane.
Absolutely not. It literally is just feeding to the rich. Like, this is why, like, I thought the rules were going to change to help teams be able to spend better, like, not better maybe for like your Man Cities, but that should be like caps, like American rules, like the NFL, the NBA, baseball. Like, there's salary caps, and I know European teams aren't going to want to do that because it will limit spending and they'll think that it won't bring as much revenue, so it'll never ever happen. But that's the only way that's going to be fair. Or even if you didn't sort of like a in the way of like a draft, like your lesser teams get more sort of revenue because they need it. Like, that would make sense. Like, Man City finished top, so what do you get? Oh, he has £1 billion.
Aye.
If you finish 17th,
Holland.
You scrape survival, or you get like 70 million to spend at best, and you're lucky to get that. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, there's just absolutely no incentives. Like, in like American sports, like, you finish worst, you get the first pick in the draft, and at least there's salary caps, so everyone's got the same opportunities. In European football, just no one's got an opportunity. Like, it's literally just, you're just going to have the Man Cities and your Liverpools just dominate for until I'm dead.
Yeah,
until I'm rotten in the ground.
But that's it, because, like I said earlier, like, it would take, if you possibly could, which you doesn't know you can, to catch up would take, it's going to take us 10, 20 years easily. And by that time, they're going to continue spending their money.
Yeah.
So then just keep adding on where it is. Like, it's a never ending cycle of
also,
not being able to.
Newcastle's the prime example of how difficult it's going to be, because we're technically the richest team in the world, but we can't even spend our own money. If anyone else, like take a Bournemouth or a Luton, say some other absolute filthy rich person comes along, some other Arab billionaire with unlimited funds comes and spends it. Like, everyone's going to be buzzing. There's going to be parties like what we had at the Subi Baba Europe since that. You get in, we're even taking over. Then, well, but you can't spend it.
No.
Oh.
Can you not with it?
Class that.
No. Yes. Look at last night.
He has 10 million to spend. Enjoy it.
Last night, we finished the game with Murphy, Almiron, Longstaff started, played the full 90.
Yeah.
Debraska's in goal.
Yeah, you got Kraft.
It's the same team as what we had fucking 6
literally,
years ago.
Now it's fucking changed.
Now it's changed.
Still fucking 10th in the league. Like,
10th in the league, huh? I thought last night was fucking 2016, man. You know, warn everyone about COVID. Oh, my days. But to wrap up the stuff on this article here, obviously we know Premier League teams can make a loss no greater than 105 million across 3 seasons. Clubs can only lose 15 million of their own money across those 3 years. So that's no more than 50 million extra on outgoings like transfer fees, wages, and paying off former managers compared to their income from TV payments, season tickets, selling players, and so on. The other 90 million of any 105 million must be guaranteed by their owners buying up shares known as secure funding. Essentially means bankrolling the club. So.
So that's the good news for the day.
There's the good news for the day. I think basically, unless you're a fan that's already in the top four, then you're never going to get the top four.
Yeah.
So, glad by Champions League this season. Good way it lasted. Because bloody hell, man, it's going to be... We would literally need to get anywhere near the revenue that they make. We need to get this new stadium, 100,000 seater, fill it every week, spend a fortune on pies and brown ale.
The size of Newcastle.
Buy every Adidas kit that comes out and get every possible extra merchandise and just, everything else, man.
Just franchising. That's the only really way to do it. I just sell, like, try and sell to America, like get like a documentary.
Aye.
Like I know I've had one, but like more of like a series, like a Welcome to Wrexham documentary or something like that to bring in like
a
bigger audience. Like you just need to buy fans. That's essentially it. You need to buy fans. And people are worried. Like people are already kicking off that because it's harder to get tickets.
Aye.
Like this whole balloting system's an absolute fucking shit show. Like it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to get tickets, but like and we are going to develop new fans. Like everyone experiences it. Like Man City. Like 20 years ago, who gave a shit about Man City?
Nah.
Like people only thought that was one team. Like in America, you go to any state in America. Like oh, which Premier League teams do you know? There's Manchester United and Liverpool. Oh, do you know Man City? Like, I actually seen that a while ago. They're doing like a derby, and like people thought that it was a joke. People thought they were getting wound up. So, yeah, that's nice to sing as Man City, man. Like, people just didn't know about them.
That's the thing when Tevez thought he was signing for the whole rumor that Tevez thought he was signing for Man United originally. Was it Tevez or someone? Player was like, oh, I didn't. No, Rubinho.
Because
obviously Tevez did play for both Manchester clubs. But Rubinho was like rocking up in like blue shirts. And, like,
where's Fergie?
Where's Fergie? Where's my red kit, man? But so it's mad and where they are now. But hopefully, when Pep leaves, they'll have a bit of a fall off, surely. But with all that money and all the players,
I say, like, how long is it going to take Newcastle to get there? Because it was easier for them because they could afford like a Rubinho and yeah, whoever it was, like your Tevez's and David Silva's, Aguero's companies. Like we can't spend the money that they did. Like Chelsea, when they had their takeover as well, like it was easier for them.
But
still took Man City 3 years or something to really kind of get to where they wanted to be. We're only two and a half years into our takeover, but the limits on what you can spend now is just absolutely mental. Like, and people think like we're buying the league. Like people think we got they think we got top four last season because of the money. You fucking joking?
What money?
I know. Fucking Longstaff was my best player. like it's gonna take us so much longer, and that's why I think fans need to be a little bit more accepting of where we are now and the journey that we're on. Because I know, like, we'll touch on like the briefly, if we can, the Chelsea game and like the being 10th in the league. I know people aren't happy and Eddie Howe getting sacked and stuff. Like, people need to slam the fucking brakes on,
break time,
and realize that we're still so early in this journey. And last year was a massive overachievement.
Mm.
Like, we just need to be patient because it's going to take probably longer than we expected. I think that when the takeover happened, they talked about a 5-year plan, potentially even a 10-year plan. But now 5 years is the minimum. 10 years is more realistic to at least maintain top four. Like, we finished fourth last season. Everyone wanted to do that again this season. It was never going to happen, by the way. We're fucking never going to finish in the top four this year.
No, never.
Absolutely
ever.
Bet me house on that.
I said seventh, me.
Yeah. But to maintain a top four position, be guaranteed Champions League football year in, year out, get to quarter final sort of level of the Champions League, win an FA Cup or two, be favourites. Like, to get to that level, it's going to take 10 years. At least.
Yeah, at least.
And at the very least. And I say, for a team as rich as Newcastle, if it was anybody else, if it was the Everton's, Forest's, Luton's, Bournemouth's, how fucking long would it take them to push for the top four now, man? Insane.
It is, like, because it's so annoying when you know, you see when the takeover happened, we're all outside St. James Park celebrating Gamma, Cannes, Cannaversary and all that takeovers happened. And it was obviously to get rid of Mike Ashley, we're happy about that. But when you see all that money, everyone was saying, the richest club in the world, and Batty's coming, and all that. Money, that wasn't going to be the case. But you think we'd at least be able to sign someone in fucking January? We couldn't.
No, this January was like back in being fucking Brucey.
Couldn't get a loan signed.
Couldn't get Chelsea on loan.
Choudhury on loan, we couldn't get Phillips on loan this January. Thankfully, we've played been awful since we dodged the bullet.
Yeah, I'm kind of pleased with that.
Dodged the bullet there. But I, you know, can't spend a penny as it is in these new rules. Don't look like they're really going to happen to help us too much either.
No.
Not yet, anyways.
Not us, not anybody, unless, yeah, City, United, Liverpool.
Yeah. Right then. I love that positivity.
Turn up!
Here's some Morgan news. Oh, Anthony Gordon. So,
yeah,
it's all over Twitter at the minute. We're not going to say that it's definitely happening because
it's not been confirmed.
It's not been confirmed by any journalists or any
rumors.
It's just these in the news that are saying that Gordon's going to be out for 6 to 7 months. Which, I mean, wouldn't surprise us in the slightest, to be honest. Like,
no.
It just sums up our season.
It's our luck. It's England's luck because that would obviously rule him out for the Euros. Oh,
bad luck for Gordon, man.
Devastating for him, absolutely. But yeah, for Newcastle, we talked about England last week. Like, do you want your team? Like, obviously, it's good for them. Like, they're your guys, they're your players, and you want them to have the best careers and just enjoy themselves as much as possible. And it's everyone's dream to play for your country. But from a selfish point of view, you don't want them to go, but you also don't want them to get 6-7 month injuries that's going to rule them out for the rest of our season,
no,
the entire Euros, and potentially even the start of next season. Like, that is not what you want to happen. So, no. And especially when it's been one of our best players, one of the most consistent players of the season as well. So probably is the best player of the season. Yeah, most consistent at least anyway. So if that is true, even if it's half of that, even if you're talking 3 months, that's the rest of the season pretty much. There's only 2 or 3 months left. So even half of that is the rest of the season, which is devastating for us, devastating for him.
Aye.
So I hope it's bullshit. That 6-7 month time frame, that's crippling that. Like, but yeah, hopefully... It's not even a touch of that. 6 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, man, like, if it's in Man City this weekend, couldn't be hard enough. You lose your player of the season, going there, no Gordon.
Great.
And the thing is, if Isak gets a knock, then we've got absolutely no one, because Gordon's our third choice striker, isn't he? So without Wilson, without Isak, without Gordon, Jacob Murphy's number 9.
Yeah, well, thank you. So, but what is it, like, 6-7 months? That's got to be ligaments.
Aye, knee ligament. Right, knee ligament, yeah. Thanks to the physio, that snapped his knee in half. You see that?
No, not really.
When he was lying down, Gordon, when he was in agony, and he had his knee out, and the physio was like, all right, lie back, and he pulled his knee up. And
can you feel that?
Like, what are you doing? that just added another 3 months on the injury, that.
And she has physio. He's out for 2. Tomorrow,
eh? Aye, he should be sacked now. caught live in the flesh, 4K, on Sky Sports main event. I mean, Monday football, snapping Gordon's knee. My God, that sums up our physio department this season.
How long are you going to be out for?
2 months,
3 months, 4 months.
Bonds doesn't need surgery. Mint, he's injured again. Botman doesn't need surgery. Yeah. Been absolutely wank since he's came back from injury, which I'll talk about soon. But on Anthony Gordon, right, this just sums up how chaotic and truly comedic this season's been when he does an interview 2 days ago saying, now the best thing about me, my little team never says. I'm never injured, me. I'm the best player I can. I'm fit as a fiddle. I'm always available. I pride myself on the medical team. Never even known who I am.
Didn't even know who I am, man.
2 days later, breaks his knee.
That's why you just should stay quiet. Didn't say no.
Don't put that out the universe, Anthony.
Don't jinx things.
No, jinxed it. Absolutely jinxed it. But you got to feel sorry for him. Yeah, Gareth Southgate was there watching.
Yeah, not that it would have made a slight bit of difference, but, you know, yeah.
The rumours are that he was going to pick him for Thursday, like.
Well, you'd like to think so, but it's just friendlies are surrounding us.
Aye,
like,
Brazil and Belgium.
Not that important, but yeah, even so, it's just a taster. Like, if you could get a spot, like, prove himself on the England team, exactly. Get, like, pretty much get to know Gareth Southgate, because that's how you get into the team. You've basically got to suck him off. Hey, that's how you get in the England team. Why do you think Harry Maguire's still there? Just saying, Harry. Just saying.
Those are Keg's allegations and not mine or the Magpie Channel's. When Harry Maguire's lawyers.
His views are my own. But you know what I mean. Like, so it would be nice for him to get a taste of the England scene, just to show Gareth Southgate exactly what he can do for the Euros, just to stake his claim a little bit further. Not that it really he should have. Like, no. He probably should be on the plane anyway, but that's the kind of way that Gareth Southgate and the England team works at the minute. So, but yeah, big shame for him, for England, for Newcastle, everyone involved, but the medical guy.
Exactly, because, like we say, England devastating for him. He deserves the call-up. But just on Newcastle's part, I mentioned Man City on Saturday. That's made that impossible task that a little bit more Mission Impossible too. And then for the rest of the season, we're still vying for a European place. We do still play a lot of the teams in and around us. You know, seventh, maybe sixth at a push is still viable. Mm. But without Anthony Gordon, your star player, the one that's carried us a lot this season, isn't he? He's had, what, 10, 11 goals. He's had double figures for contributions as well. Assists are right up there. So he's going to be a huge miss for us. Never mind the bloody three lines in Germany.
Yeah.
And he said in that interview as well, you know, he's like, your girlfriend wants to go on holiday. I've told her Germany's nice this time of year. Because he was banging on trying to get that call for England. And that'll be... You'll be feeling really down at the minute. Like, I need some CBDs, I need some Anthony Brew Paints. Calm that, get that anxiety and depression scene to Anthony. KSL Dunia, lad, Tuesday night, live at 7 with Anthony Gordon next week.
You got no better day,
Anthony. It's an international break. Could have been with Southgate, be with us instead. Much better.
You got no better day, might as well get doing.
But I honestly, I really obviously hope that it's not 6-7 months because that would screw us up going into the summer and then even into next season because it's March now, it's over 6-7 months. Jesus Christ, that'll be about like September, October. Fucking Tonali will be back before it.
Yeah, no, literally. Yes, I was in bets on while you're injured. So.
Got England when the Euros are here. Well then, that's bad news. Gutting. We'll wait for official announcements though before speculating.
Have we got any good news?
Have we got any good news? No.
Okay. Because it's a Newcastle podcast.
Yeah.
Of course there's need for good news.
It is like the good old days now, isn't
it? It is, aye. Steve Bruce this Saturday.
Aye, Brucey. Actually, we have potential transfer links, but again, that's just speculation, but it's positive, I guess.
Yeah, if we've got the money to spend it.
PSO is going to stop that. So, we've talked on Gordon, and this is negative, but it's the truth. What the hell has happened to Sven Botman? Or as I called him last night, Sven Boomstone.
Oh, I didn't put that in the air, man. I didn't need that.
He was absolutely double stinking. He has been for months, though.
Yeah.
Months on end now. That clearance for the first goal was diabolic. His general play looked so slow, clumsy. You can see he's shot of confidence. But to be fair, the physio department again, I mean, has he been rushed back? Should he have had that operation?
Possibly.
Because he looks like he's playing at about 25% for me. He still looks like he's carrying that injury. Maybe sound giving him because I loved him before this. Injury.
Oh yeah, yeah. Maybe it has been a case of rushing him back, and that's why this team still has so much work to do because we've just got any depth. Like if Isaac goes out, then we're absolutely knackered because Wilson could potentially be out for the season. And we've mentioned how many times we need another striker. But even in his absence, to be fair, Lascelles stepped up. Like Lascelles was doing all right.
I would rather play Lascelles at the minute.
Lascelles and Shaw like formed a part. Well, they had a partnership back in the Brucey days, and that's why this is absolutely dreadful. But we're back in the fucking Brucey days, and that's basically just what it is. But like maybe we should have just kept that for a little while. But I think because he is when he's on form, like we've seen prior to his injury, he's a top actor. Don't he still, amazing. What, 23 years old? Mm. He's still very young. Everyone in the Premier League rates him. Like, outside of Newcastle, other fans of the league know that last season he was one of the top performers at centre-back in the position. I've seen, at the end of the season, a lot of, like, football YouTubers were putting him in their teams of the season.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely deserves it. So, yeah, like, we just aren't seeing... Oh, Botman. Like I say, it's fucking boom song. It's Bramble right now. Like, I don't know what's going on. Maybe we did force him back because he is that guy. When someone's that good, you want them on the field. And as harsh as that is on Lascelles, because he didn't really put a foot wrong, like, that's just sort of the nature of the game, unfortunately. You want your best players on immediately, even if that means they're not fully, fully fit, which is a big crime. And whoever's decision that was, Eddie Howe or ownership or... anyone else, like, it's obviously that's just speculation as well. Maybe he was fully fit, maybe there's something else going on, maybe we just don't know about it. But if he's not fully fit and someone's given it the go ahead to be like, wait, fucking get him in, bad crack.
Really, well, that's really what happened with me, if you remember, he just skated shoulder.
Yeah,
Harvey Barnes with a bad toe and thought, hey, he'd be out for a couple weeks. A couple weeks turned into a couple months, turned into a few months, comes back for a game. Now he's got a bad hamstring.
I feel like Isaac was like that when he came back. He went through like three or four games of not... He's back in form now, but when he came back from his injury, I think because Wilson went out, but had to. There was anyone else.
No.
So I think he went through maybe four or five games of not really being his best self. Mm. That's just probably because he wasn't fit because there was anyone else.
No, exactly. And there was rumours not so long ago that Isaac might have to go under the knife or somewhere.
Probably.
To solve this like issue that's obviously reoccurring.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah, probably have to do it in the summer. Are Sweden in the Euros?
No, they're not. No, so that could allow me to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's not going, I just get ourselves another knife. Neon's got on holiday this year.
Neon's
got on the Euros. Neon's got on holiday. Fucking Joe Will again, not getting back to New York to play chess. No. Right? Everyone's just getting a fucking operation free on the club.
Operation Ace Bash. That's all I'm seeing.
Fucking Grey's Anatomy FC.
With Botman, then, what's the solution? Would you take him out the firing lane? Because, you know, options are bring back in Jamal Lascelles, like we've just said.
Yeah.
You could potentially bring Dan Burn in from left back to centre back and then put Kraft there, or when Turkia comes back, swap him and Tino on the flanks, or obviously Matty Target.
Yeah.
Back, back now as well. He's on the bench. So
it's a good sign.
Can we start playing left backs instead of centre backs and drop the centre back that's on the night every week?
I don't know. We'll have a look in the comments what your best case scenario would be. But let's say, like, Botman is sort of like the franchise centre back. He's a big, sexy centre back that you want playing. So, whether it's up to me, like, I'm not Eddie Howe, I'm not the coach. So, it's up to them, like, for our opinion. And, like I say, I want to say what everyone else has to say about us. Like, do you take him out? Like, in case he is like Isaac, like I said, Isaac had like 4 or 5 games where he wasn't his best because he was rushed back, but now he's banging them in, he's back in form. So, do you wait for him to get that confidence and just kind of stick with it? Or do you, because it might be a confidence knock for him just to pull him out and say, yeah, doing shit. So, we're going to put Lascelles in. Like, you're getting dropped because you're fucking wank. So, do you put Lascelles in? I don't know. Dan Burn back in with Target or Tino.
Kraft and Dunn at the back.
That is proper Steve Bruce and Ashley in a back four. Kraft, Lascelles, Shaw and Dummett.
Run it back.
Oh my days.
Run it back.
That's bad nostalgia. That's a fucking nightmare. That's the kind of flashbacks that you don't want to be
having. Sleep in the night.
Waking up in a cold sweat. Don't left foot. Oh, man.
I tell you what, I was there. Old Trafford in the cup. Quality.
Centre back, though.
Centre back, aye.
It wasn't left back.
Centre back, aye. Crafting dumb at the back, man.
Shit.
Anyways, Matty, good to see you getting Tiger King on the podcast.
there you go.
Good stuff.
I thought you couldn't see us. I'm invisible.
I know. John Cena. Botman hasn't looked right since the medical team missed his ACL injury before it came to a head. Very true.
Tiger King. Like that.
The other player that did play well in defence last night, though, was Tino Livramento.
Oh, that's mad, that.
He's a shining light. Funny that we've been asking for him to start for the past 9 months.
Smadley's probably been my best defender all season, but can't get a game.
Again, that's why people are labelling criticism Eddie Howe's door, though.
Well,
he's the one that picks him, true. Or doesn't.
it is quite difficult because I know, like, I don't think it's the same. I think the ownership has more trust in Eddie Howe than to do this. But I know, like, again, sort of like American franchises, like in the NFL, like some owners can have too much control and sort of tell them, like, look, we've spent money on this. And I think they do. I think owners, if they spend big bucks, if you buy like £100 million player, like, look, he's fucking playing.
Mm.
We've spent money on it. You better pick him. And I think Rafa went through that. I think Steve Bruce went through that.
Joe Linton.
Joe Linton's a prime example. Yeah. club record fee, banged him up front. Everyone knew he wasn't a striker, but had to play him anyway because he was that money. And Mike Ashley probably had that. Lee Charnley spent £40 million on him. You think you're not going to play him? Think again, Jackie. So. Yeah, like maybe you said that is sort of the case. I forgot where we're going there. One more time.
I forgot what we're talking about now. Talk about why Tino's not getting picked, basically.
Oh, right.
Him, picking him.
Yeah, so
he didn't get picked because he was just a duel and £40 million.
Well, it was a lot of money, but obviously you kind of play right back because it's Trippier's gig. Even though he went through a spell of bad form, mm-hmm. He's not going to play right back. Left back isn't his primarily position, so maybe I think we're talking about Eddie Howell as a loyalist. Like the loyalism for Dan Burn because he done so well last season. I think he still thinks that's his best four, the same four from last season. Even though Dan Burn for me just isn't the left back whatsoever. Decent cover, I suppose, if you're last ditch effort.
That's why I'm saying he could slot in instead of Botman, get him out the fire name, put Burn at centre back. Someone else at left back, Matty Target come in for City, something like that.
Mm.
Because Dan Burn's going to get absolutely annihilated.
You can't have Dan Burn. Like Tino has to start. I know he will start right back, but even if, like, argument's sake, Trippier was available, would Tino start at left back? I still doubt that he would. Like,
pisses me off, man.
Yeah, like, I just don't know. And I get what people are saying about Eddie Howe. Like, if it is his choice and it's not coming from the top, then I don't know, man. Like, it's just a little bit too suspect for me. It's just bad choices. Whoever's decision it is, someone's absolutely fumbling the bag, yeah.
Oh, big time. Because even Trippier himself said in an interview this week, he was like, Tino's going to take my place at right back. Tino will probably take my place in England.
In the long term, absolutely.
He's the best right back. So he should be coming in now, though. And I've seen him at PSG away, live at left back. He's unreal. And that was against PSG.
Yeah.
I think for cup
games especially, like, that's where rotation needs to be. Because Trippier's, what, 34 now?
Aye, 34.
I know we're probably talking about next season where we know how good Trippier is, but even from the beginning of this season, from cup games, League Cup, FA Cup, whoever the opposition, whether it's Man City or Man United, like Wahad, or if it was like lower league, League One, League Two, just get Trippier out. Just send him on holiday or something. Just give him a break. Like, he doesn't need to be there.
No.
Like, that's where youngins, like, even, for example, next season, Harrison Ashby comes back off loan. Like, that's why he was brought in, because he's young and he's a potential future star. And I know that's why Trippier was brought in, Livermento was brought in, because potentially Harrison Ashby isn't, maybe is what we thought he was when we signed him. But for argument's sake, that's what we should be doing. Like, send Trippier fucking nowhere near the ground. Like, it was Rochdale away. Why is Kieran Trippier playing? Like, start Harrison Ashby, bring Tino in. Like, they're the youngins, they're the future. Like, you don't need a 34-year-old playing against fucking Rochdale. Like, that's what we need to be doing from here on in. And like, Yakuba Minda, when he comes back next year, like, they're the games for him. That's where he needs to be starting and staking a claim in the starting 11.
Aye.
But like, it always has been sort of like trying just to play the best team, just to try and go on the best cup run possible. And I get it, because we won a cup run. I'm not slating, like, going all out for a cup run. But Kieran Trippier is 34 years old. Like, he needs just to sort of start simmer down a little bit and start giving, like, the likes of Tino, who's, what, 21, 22?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He needs more minutes. Like, he needs more experience.
Yeah. He does. I think it's criminal that he doesn't get a game. I think last night, again, you saw what he can bring. He was literally was the shining light for me. Like, he was getting forward. He was causing them problems. He was...
How many games has he not been, though?
I think more
often than not, like, when he first started, because I know he came off a big injury. Like, he spent nearly all of last season out from a big, was it ACL?
ACL, Anthony Gordon.
But I like them games. Like, I think it was... Was it City or United?
What's that?
In the cup.
City.
Like, that was his first start, wasn't it? And, like, nobody really knew what to expect. Like, he's a young'un, it's his first start. Like, I think he had a couple of sub appearances where he looked all right, but especially with Kraft and Dummett at the back, everyone was like, "Oh yeah, bad for his left kid." Both games, City and United, he was absolutely mental. Continued that left back. PSG. Every other game that he played, every time he started, he's just been absolutely immense. And I think, I don't know how many games he's started that he hasn't impressed.
No.
Right or left. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it's mad that, and that is one thing I will criticize Eddie Howe on, is the loyalty to Burn. And I know that defense did do extremely well last season, got with top four.
Yeah.
You got to move with the times, man.
Move with the times.
And these are the things that are happening where they're saying, oh, he doesn't adapt to teams, he doesn't adapt to different situations, scenarios, in-game, beforehand.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see the whole crowd's fucking chanting for Tino. We all love him. We all know how good he is. And then he kind of get in. It is a bit bonkers. And I'm an Eddie Howe fan. I stick up for him. But
yeah, me too.
That is one of them where I look at it and think, I can't stick up for that. Like, I can't stick up for 7-foot-tall, 30-odd-year-old Dan, man. Yeah. Being ahead of one of the best young fullbacks in the
league. Outside of the Tino to Burn argument, I will say that, so, like, in-game, like, starting 11s and in-game changes, I think sometimes his hands are still a little bit tired because, like we say, players aren't fit. We've had so many injuries this season that we know for a fine fact, like, Isaac and Botman are playing, like, 70% max fitness.
Aye.
Then what are the people on the bench? If they're starting, what are the people on the bench like? Most of the season we've had kids and three goalkeepers. We've had neat options. But those that are there, like, Murphy with his dislocated shoulder, no striker. Like the options have been limited for him, and I know now it's looking better, but targets come back for the first time this season. When did he get injured? Was it preseason or early in the season? Like he's been out for months.
That long we've seen
so target, long. Anderson's been off for donkeys with a broken back. Like the options still aren't really there. Like, yes, the bench looks prettier on paper, but how fit are these players? Like, so how is he going to make changes when he's got still got no changes to make? The bench looks better than what it did in November, December time. Like I said, when we're starting, well, when we're benching three goalkeepers and Ben Parkinson and Ahmed Diallo, like, but still, like, how better off are we? Like, I don't know.
Well, that's the thing where you think, oh, well, maybe Chuck Target on 20 minutes, or you Lewis Holes, or this, that, you know, but...
Hull wasn't even on the bench last night.
No, ineligible against Chelsea.
Oh, yes, of course he was. I
could play against Man City, though.
Yeah.
At least on the bench, probably not. we'll touch on that game soon. But there's a lot of talk about Eddie Howe. We've reached on it a little bit there. Last night on my live match reaction, watch it back, people, after this, if you haven't seen it already.
Rage Rennie.
Not just me. I was quite calm compared to the comment section. Everyone was going mental, and a lot of them were Eddie Howe out, or Eddie Howe lost the plot and doesn't know what he's doing type of thing. And I did lead with them having a howler because I think he did completely mess up the tactics and the game plan last night. But reports today came out from the Telegraph saying that no matter where Newcastle United finish, whether that's a European place or not, this season he will be safe and he will be in the dugout for the start of next season. So are you backing that decision or?
I do. For now, I'm still 100% that idea. The first game of next season, Eddie Howe will be the manager.
Yeah.
I'll absolutely 100% behind it. But I get people that are frustrated by it. But as I said before, like, people still just need to slam them brakes on and calm down, because, like I say, last season was a massive overachievement. We haven't got the money to spend. We didn't spend as much in January as we would have liked to have in the summer. We had to sell some maximum to be able to afford Barnes. We couldn't spend in January. So, and we've had so many injuries, we couldn't really account for what's happened this season. Like, if we hadn't had as many injuries, half the injuries that we've had, because we've had so many, like, we could be in a better position. But yeah, for me, I think, and again, back to FFP and brands, global brands and franchises, while Chelsea aren't in the greatest league position, and they weren't last season either, they're still a massive, massive club with a shit ton of money, massive, expensive players, massive wages. Yeah, they haven't been performing very well as a unit. Like, as a unit, they've been pretty shit for 2 years consistently, but they are a good team, and you can't underestimate them, especially away where, what's our record under the last win there?
One win in 29. Haven't won there since 2011-12. Patrick CC won a strike.
29 games.
I only won once in the Premier League era at Stamford Bridge.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that league position isn't great, but you can never underestimate Chelsea. You can't look at them all, well, they're all 11th, 12th, and where, what, 8th, 9th? That sound, I will beat them. That's not the way football works. That's like the FA Cup. Like, you can be a Premier League team and get beat off a League Two team. Like, football doesn't work like that. Like, we got beat by a single goal. I know the performance wasn't great. It probably felt worse than it was, but we lost by a single goal away to Chelsea. Mad.
I know the performance,
and it's modern Chelsea, and it's the performance, and that's what makes sense. But you can't fire Eddie Howe for that. Like I say, it's a long term plan, and like I say, the restraints, injuries, financial fair play, a lot of things gone against Eddie Howe this season. And I know some of his decisions haven't been great. His in game management hasn't been great. His subs haven't been great. But I feel like there's reasons for that. And but on a journey like this, like I say, it's a 5-year plan.
Enjoy the ride.
Minimum. 5-year plan, minimum. He's been here 2 years. That long? He's been here 2 years,
A bit now.
Two and a little bit, yeah. I think we've just got to be patient, because if you sack a manager, you can go back to square one. We've already lost Dan Ashworth. Dan Ashworth was a part of our long-term plan.
Yeah.
And so is Eddie Howe. If you sack Eddie Howe and we haven't got a director of football, we're back to square one. So I think you just got to be patient, and like the club and finances, FFP needs to be sorted out. We need better players. We need to start moving on from like your Dubravkas, your Crafts, your Dummets. whoever else you want to throw in there. All of them. Yeah, we've got a long way to go. And this isn't Eddie Howe's fault, as bad as performances may have been, as bad as results may have been, decisions may have been. Like, nah, I think you've got to ride it out. Let's say if you see him next season, it's a long-term plan. You can't just be sacking managers right, left, and center. Like Chelsea do. Mm. Look at where Chelsea are. Tottenham. Tottenham and Chelsea didn't give managers fucking time to change a light bulb. Like, light bulbs last longer in the fucking dressing rooms than they do with their managers. Like, I think you just got to give them time and wait and see. And it comes from the top down, in my opinion. If you want to blame anyone, blame the owners. Mm. Again, I'm not blaming them, like, because it's the financial side of things. But I'm just pointing a finger at Eddie Howe and solely blaming him and saying that he should be sacked today after the Chelsea loss. Have him gone. It's a disgrace if he's there first game of next season. Nah, I'm not having that. Like, I think that's a load of shit.
Nah, and I do blame. I think Eddie Howe does take a lot of blame from me for last night's performance, because I think he did get it completely wrong. There's been many teams, Wolves, who we've just beat last week. With that game plan, if we had took that into last night's game, I think we'd win. Mm. Because Wolves went to Stamford Bridge last month, won 4-2, did the same thing. Sat there, you have the ball, the crowd gets annoyed at Stamford Bridge, start shouting Pochettino out, start singing Jose Mourinho's name, you hit them on the counter, you score 3-4 goals.
Yeah.
I think
we nearly totally did that in the cup. Like, we're shit against them in the cup, but we nearly won 1-0.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, there is a thing going around with Jose Mourinho's links to Newcastle. He was caught chatting to Yasser Al-Ramian, our chairman over in Saudi Arabia. So that got speculation going. But I'm fully behind what the Telegraph are reporting, and I just think it's true. Honestly, I don't think no matter what happens this season, where we get beat on Saturday, very likely, we're out of the FA Cup.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Unlucky again, we did the live draw here. Shambles, you know. You think we could be sitting here, and you said earlier, is there anything to be positive about tonight? We could have been like, well, we could fucking get to Wembley. Win Saturday, we'll be at Wembley.
Nah, but we're not.
But we're not because of the unlucky cut draw. What I'm saying is, if we had got anybody else but Man City, we would have had a bit of positivity tonight, thinking, last night we shit against Chelsea, but at least we've got Saturday. At least we've got Saturday at home to whoever, but Man City.
If it was Chelsea, if it was Tottenham, if it was anybody else, would be
even
like,
Liverpool with all the kids playing and injuries and that.
We'll have them.
You know, they've got enough. They've got Premier League going for. You wouldn't rule out against Liverpool, but Man City, it's hard to look at that and think, we're going to get to
away,
that.
Especially.
Away as well. Again, even if it was at home to Man City.
Yeah, it's a solid draw.
In January, we gave them a good game or 2-1 up. You know, got beat in the last minute. So
3-3 last season.
3-3 last season. So, summers up the season, isn't it? But I think no matter what happens, get knocked out the FA Cup, don't make Europe, finish 11th or 12th, I think we'll get nobody else in, and it will be Eddie Howe, and I think he deserves that.
I do as well. Yeah, 100%. I believe that he does. From a sort of pipe dream. I've always wanted Jose Mourinho. And I know, like, the jobs that he's done has been a little bit suspect at some clubs. Like, he's been sacked twice from Chelsea, Man United, Tottenham, Real Madrid, Roma. Like, everywhere he's gone, he's been sacked.
But he does win a trophy.
It doesn't look good, but he does win a trophy.
Spurs, we got the final.
I think his style of football is boring as fuck. He's ultra defensive. He's like 11 men behind the ball. It's not pretty, but he wins things. And ultimately, that's what football's all about. You win things, you win games, you get top of the league, you win the FA Cup, Champions League. That's what we need. We need a cup. And the way that Jose Mourinho has even described himself as a little magpie because of his relationship with Sir Bobby Robson, like even when I knew it was never, ever, ever going to happen, to replace like Steve Bruce, even in the Mike Ashley era,
Rafa, that would be good.
A small part of me would have been like, I want Jose Mourinho, I want him, I want him, I want him. But especially now that he's available, he's unattached. He hasn't got a club. If Eddie Howe was to be sacked tomorrow, I'd be like, get out of fucking Jose Mourinho, man. I think that would be absolutely class. And I think he would take it now.
Straight away.
And I think he was rumoured to be getting it. I think maybe when we're looking to replace Rafa, obviously we're always going to go down the lines of a Steve Bruce.
Crappy English school
Jose Mourinho.
Would never work with a mate, Ashley.
Nah, of course he wouldn't. And that's why. Like,
yes, man.
I think at the time he might have been available and all, like, so everyone would say, I'll get Jose Mourinho. I fucking course.
I would love it just for the box office entertainment. I'm not saying I want any other. Saying, like, if he did, if the owner,
hypothetically,
if those in Saudi are looking at that thinking, I don't care what happened last season, I don't care. We've had injuries. I'm looking at the league table and we're 10th or we finished 12th or whatever. I'm fucking not good enough for me. Like. And if Jose Mourinho's, he'd be sitting there having a beer with, well, probably not beer in that country, sitting there having a coffee with Jose in Saudi, and he's thinking, fancy this one, Jose? He's straight there. Do you know what I mean? Straight there. So he's saying, yo, he is there. Outside, Samuel Robson's statue. There's the welcoming photo. There's the welcoming video. And how great the press releases would be. The conferences every week. You know,
if something went drastically wrong with Eddie Howe and he did lose his job, and Jose Mourinho was available, I would absolutely love that.
But he would win us a trophy.
Yeah, he would. Yeah,
100%. He could win anybody a trophy.
Yeah, he could.
He literally could.
Might be boring as fuck.
I'll be awful.
Everyone might be out of our mind for 38 games of the season, but...
Yeah, I'll tell you this point, though. And then 2 years down the line, we can start getting selfish and be like, Chelsea FA Cup, Josie, but this football's wank.
Yeah.
Like, we're gonna get such and such in now. Brilliant. Job done. Yeah. Phase three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But no, like, I do trust in Eddie Howe, and I do think there's a long-term plan, and I think he does deserve his job for a longer term, at least this summer, at least.
I think people are forgetting far too quickly the miracles he's worked for me, from relegation to top four, the cup final. Forgetting it very quickly. Another circumstance of Tonali.
We
injuries.
Mentioned a couple of weeks ago about how mad it was that Leicester sacked Ranieri like 5-6 months after winning them the Premier League.
Someone said that to me last night on the watch along, on the live match reaction, where I said Eddie's got credit in the bank and all that, what he did last season. Someone said, doesn't matter what he did last season, Leicester sacked Ranieri after they won the league last season.
Yeah,
that's what would happen though. That's when I could get it. Say, if we're here this time next year, seeing the same shit.
No improvements.
Then it's time to go.
Like, hypothetically, we spend 200 million in the transfer window. Excuse me.
Oh, that sounds nice on Spotify.
sorry, Spotify listeners. Couldn't get it out. It's these beers. We spend mad money in the to be fair, 200 million is not even that much in the modern market, if you can spend it.
2 midfielders of Chelsea.
It literally is, though. So if you spend mad money, And there's no injuries, no European football. If we finish eighth this season and we don't even get Conference League, if we spend 300 million and there's no injuries, no fitness issues, and we're still eighth to 10th, maybe even 12th in the league come November, December, January next season, then I can see that being a big problem.
Big problem for Eddie.
But right now, it's...
Right now, we've got a big overhaul coming in the summer, which we'll talk about more towards the time and throughout maybe the international break. You know, what should happen in terms of ins and outs. Could be topics to touch on next week or two. Because that's what needs to happen. Listen, there's a big change coming to Newcastle this summer. Anyhow, you can oversee it. And then, like I said, if come Christmas, come February, March, we're lingering mid-table and we're out the cups, then that'll be the time when I'll be like, cheers, Eddie, but... see there.
But he'll always be held in high regard, though. Like, he's always
saved him.
He's a Keegan Robson for me. I think you put him up there. I think he's one of the three best managers that Newcastle's ever had.
Right.
Maybe he's Hoy Rafa up there as well, just because of kind of what he'd done for when such a dark, dark time. Like, he's probably one of the highlights of the Ashley era, and there wasn't many.
No, that was
But in terms of what he's done for bringing Champions League football back there, St. James's, getting with top four.
Cup final.
Cup final. He's absolutely one of the top three managers that we've had in Premier League history, at least.
Brought me my best memories as a Newcastle fan.
Definitely. So, yeah.
I never thought, 5-6 years down the making of doing this, I'd be at the San Siro and that. You know what I mean?
That's at the beginning. And people from the outside will be like, oh, it's the money. But you see what he'd done with Joe Linton, with Fabian Schär was wank under Steve Bruce. Who else? Everybody else. Almiron. We've seen the best out of Almiron. Like, everyone's improved. Like, Sean Longstaff. Like, everyone's a much better player for playing with Eddie Howe than what they were previously. So it's no fluke. It's not money. It's not finances. It's not extra motivation because of bonuses or nothing financial. Like, Eddie Howe's deserved everything that he's done for Newcastle. So whenever his time does come, like I say, if next season we're not playing European football, so our schedule's not as strenuous, we'll spend shit tons of money in the summer transfer window.
Sounds amazing.
But we're not performing where we need to be. We're sort of still 10th, and there's no excuses, and he gets sacked, he'll always be held in high regard in my book. Like, I'll never speak bad of Eddie Howe.
You mentioned Rafa Benitez being a highlight for you.
Yes.
You mean sacked today?
Sacked today.
Sacked from Celta Vigo.
17th, to be fair, in La Liga.
That's not good.
Not very good for me.
What's happened to Rafa?
Well,
getting old, getting past it.
Yeah.
Get yourself a Saudi, Rafa. Nice little payday for you, son.
To be fair, he went to China for the money.
Well, he did, I.
That didn't really work out.
Totally ruined his career. Should have stayed at the tune, Rafa. Huh?
Nah, you shouldn't have.
Nah.
You got out at the right time.
Advise anyone to
respect me for leaving you.
Well, damn, Mike Ashley.
Yeah,
wouldn't 100%. Want that on my worst enemy.
No, not at all.
Tomorrow is 20,000 days since NUFC won the Fairs Cup, says Jasmine Black. 20,000 days. Don't know if that's true or not. Sounds like a long time. It is a long time, isn't it?
That's a mad stat. But where's that come
who's,
from?
Who's put that out?
Who the fuck's worked that out? What?
Could have just given someone on
Twitter. What was that? Was that 69 or 68?
It was 69, wasn't it?
69. So what would you say? 20,000
days. Work that out. Let us know if it's true.
What a fucking stat. I'm going to
get that in the postcard
right now.
Yeah. But we are coming to the last 5 minutes of this week's podcast, people. So get your questions in the live chat for us to answer before we sign out.
20,000 days is 54.79 years.
That still doesn't add up, does it? I have no idea.
It's near enough.
Long time.
Anyway.
So yeah, last few minutes, get your last few questions in there. Well, you did ask for some positivity, Keg. I said this could potentially be one, depending on how you see it, and that's what I want to find out from you. Links this week to Pedro Neto from Wolves, £60 million. Ooh. Apparently, we are leading the race ahead of Liverpool for the Portuguese right winger. Now, this is a winger that can actually score goals and assist, unlike Miguel Almiron at the best times. But he's also a winger that has his own injury concerns, very injury-prone. He's injured at the minute. He's played twice this season against Newcastle home away. Twice went off injured. So, don't know what they're watching there. That's why he's doing it. Eddie Housing. Now, this is my type of player.
I love an injury prone player.
Injured all the time. Injured all the time. Physio, you have a field. He's snapped his knee as well. There you go. What's going on? 60 million. Eh? 30 million enough wasn't only was so. Let's double it. Waste that on Neto. There you go. I mean, I'm a big fan. Injury prone though.
I think he's a tremendous player. I'm a really, really big fan. Even without the injury concerns, I mean, the modern day market probably would value him at 60 million.
Oh, easy.
I think that's a bit overpriced, to be honest. I wouldn't be keen. 40, yeah, I can say 40. That's fair. I think 60 is a little bit too much, but you throw in his injury history and yeah. I'd have him in the squad. Like if he was like a free agent and we were able to pick him up, or if he was in the last year of his contract and you got him for 20, 30, 40, then I'd have him. But yeah, 60 million, that's a lot. I think that's overpriced without his injury concerns. And yeah, you hold that in. Yeah, I'm not paying that. Like, fuck that.
Nah, I wouldn't pay that much. Like, it's too much. Too much on a risk there for him.
That's my whole entire budget.
He is a top talent. Exactly, aye. PSR. Do you know what I mean?
I can't buy anyone else.
Spread
buy
cost.
An injury prone winger class.
No, yeah, there's some are done. Same team next season. Longstaff, Bain, and everyone else. Get in. Let's finish off on a quick look towards Saturday night then. 5:30 kickoff. Etihad quarter final. The winner gets to Wembley. Let's try and be positive then.
Okay.
It's the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Magic of the FA Cup.
Right.
Giant killings.
Giant killing.
Can we do it?
No.
Great.
You know, I wish I could have that positivity. And like I always say, like the FA Cup, it's one of the magical things. You never know what can happen. And I'll still say that. I'll always say that. I think the FA Cup's one of the greatest competitions still going. But when you play Man City away, you didn't really stand any fucking chance. I'm sorry, and I wish I could be more optimistic. Like, I would say if we were at home, optimistically, I would have said we could pull out a draw like we have, like we did last year and almost did again this year.
Take the pens.
Could have took it a pens, and you never know. But away, no. That's the fucking hope in hell's chance.
No, I'm with you. Honestly, if it was at home, I wouldn't put it past us because, like I said earlier, we've came close this year, 3-2 or 2-1 up, lost in the last minute. Last year, big draw, 3-3. I think we can compete, but Saturday, 5:30 on the late at St. James's.
It's a different story.
Could be a different story. Yeah. But at the Etihad, our record's awful there.
Yeah.
I've just watched them against Manchester City. Manchester City against Manchester United. They destroyed them at home. At home, they're just a different beast, man. The way they zip the ball about so efficiently, so quickly.
Yeah.
Everyone's so talented. Everyone's so clinical. If it's anything less than six, I think it'll be...
But this is this is back to like the Brucey Ashley days. Like that was always the crack, and like oh, if we don't concede five, it's a good result. Like, that was always what we used to say about Man City.
We really have changed about the time this year, haven't we?
We really have. If you start De Bruyne and Haaland, you just didn't stand a chance, and you got like your underdogs, like your Fodens and whoever else, like defensively that good, midfield, up front, everybody they've got is class. But yeah, Foden, De Bruyne, Haaland, if them start, yeah, didn't stand a fucking chance.
No.
If you don't concede four, I'd say that's a decent performance.
In either way, we're out of the cup. So it's like one of them ones where do you do what would normally do with a place like Man City, where it's probably sit back, you let them have the ball, frustrate them, everyone behind the ball trying to hit them on the counter with, well, what normally would be Anthony Gordon. He's probably going to be out, obviously.
I think I remember we'd done that. It was obviously pre-COVID. We watched... we watched it in the Garter.
Did we?
I think we got beat either 1-0 or 2-1.
Did we get robbed of a pen or something? Or did we miss a pen?
But Yedlin... Yedlin had a pretty good game, and I remember, I think we kept it.
Oh, we did watch it close. Lost 2-1.
Was it 2-1? I remember winning. Almost like pulled it back last minute. Yedlin went on a mad run, and I think he squared it, but I think the pass just wasn't right. And like that was one of like our best performances, sort of. Like, we're just defensive as fuck. We just held them back for so long. We were almost cut, like the last 10 minutes, we were proper pushing for an equalizer. I was like, come on.
Even that, a little bit of hope would be nice. Not be 3-4-5-0 one down with 10 minutes to go would be nice. If we're in the game, the chance of clawing something back would give us a bit of hope, like, and just to avoid embarrassment, to be fair. And we sound like a really non-E team. I can't think he had, but
it's not even how bad we are. It's no disrespect to Newcastle. Like, obviously not trying to put, like, we've been negative all episode. It's been unintentional. But
facts.
It is literally just trying to speak facts, and you go against Man City, the Etihad, like, your chances are slim to none.
No, they really aren't. It's going to be a tough afternoon for Newcastle. Like we said, stranger things have happened.
They have.
Never
have.
Sneaky 1-0, Longstaff. Sneaky 1-0.
Sneak anything. Absolutely.
1-0 Tino. 3-2. You know what I mean? It's tough. Listen, now without Gordon as well, it obviously takes away a lot of our firepower. Scored a great goal against them as well.
I know I've been blowing smoke off Tino's arse, but I think Trippier could be a big miss now.
Yeah,
No Trippier, no Gordon. Still not 100% sure on the fit. Well, I was going to say Isaac, but he's been banging them in recently. But Botman, is Botman going to start? The others, Longstaff's had been poor for a long, long time. Like, it's going to be good, like.
Looking bleak. I'm going to go on 6-2, Man City. You?
14-1. Realistically, what did you say?
6-2.
Oh, no, I don't think it's going to be that bad.
What do you think? We're going to get two goals?
I was going to say 4-2.
Yeah.
4-2, 4-1. But yeah, we're going to concede goals.
Yes, we are. Get your questions in. Last couple of minutes of the podcast. One earlier from Shieldsy. Where is the legal challenge from the other 14 teams? Surely they need to get together before the new rules get implemented.
It's a good point, to be fair. Point, like,
well, didn't one of things meant to go to panels of teams to decide these things?
Owners are meant to decide this, I'm sure, aren't they? Like, every decision goes to the Premier League, and it's got to be sort of like a unanimous decision. Yeah, surely this can't pass, man, because it doesn't do any good for anybody but your cities. So, it's got to be spoken about, and every other team has to have a say, and it's only a bad thing for every other team. So, yeah, I cannot say this passing if that happens, but if it doesn't happen, then why? Is it just because the Premier League corrupt as fuck and they just want, like, your Man City's and Liverpool's just to absolutely smash it every year?
Seems that way.
Maybe so. Because financially, that might make sense for the Premier League. Like, they might, obviously, they're their biggest earners. So you think, just let them just make us loads of money. That'd be good.
Keep them at the top. Yeah. Keep the little man at the bottom. other people are asking about Gordon. You know, is the injury really 6 months at the minute? Nothing.
It's not being confirmed
on that. Twitter just, account.
Twitter rumors.
Didn't believe everything you read on the old Twitter.
Absolutely not.
After recent performances, would you accept 80 to 100 million for Sven Botman, in brackets Maguire money, which is insane, if it means we can get after it in the summer market? Shout out 80 for being a member of the channel there as well. A good question there. Would you? So obviously, you know, we've had all this talk in recent months. Eels is responding to it. Will we sell with superstars? Isaac, Bruno, Botman. They're the three biggest, youngest talents, you'd argue, with Gordon. Would you accept that? Mate, spent 30 for him.
It's it. How much was he? Was he 30?
32, something like 35.
35. It's a difficult question, and one that you've kind of got to think about, because on one hand, he's still so young, and yeah, he's going through a bit of a rough patch, but mate, he's fucking 23. Mm. Like, he's shown his qualities already. Like, he can get out of this patch. Like, he can get back to his best. And you got to think about what his best would be in a couple of years' time when he's 25, 26. What do you think his trajectory is?
Yeah.
If you don't think he's going to be worth $100 million, like it is more than double what he's worth. That's what you've kind of got to think about. So yeah, on his recent form, you'd take fucking 20p. But nah, it's not that bad. But yeah, it's a difficult one, because for FFP, like, if it's that's the big thing. Like you say, Darren Eel said we need to sell. So even yeah, we'll spend 35 million on him a year and a half ago. If you've got £100 million offer, it's hard to turn down, to be honest.
It is, like,
it really is. So really, yeah, is. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go. If you've got £100 million, I think 80, you've got to weigh up options. You got to, like you say, you've got to think about his age, his trajectory, what he could be. But 100, you think, ah, I'll tell
you
that, like.
Well, the way I look at it, and like you mentioned the trajectory, because he's Dutch, people refer to him as, oh, he's the next Van Dijk.
Yeah.
And obviously Liverpool paid $74 million for Van Dijk years ago.
He was in his late 20s, wasn't he?
Wow, $70 million for a defender.
Yeah.
So now, obviously, Botman in 3-4 years' time could easily be worth that if he played like he did last season. He was 50. Well, exactly. So you think of it that way. You think, well, if you spend that, then are you playing catch-up? And will you ever be able to get one as good as him if he stays that way?
Yeah.
But at the same time, if someone offered me $100 million, and then according to FFP and PSR,
yeah,
that means you'd then be able to spend, what, $300 million, $400 million?
Yeah, pretty much.
Triple that?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I like Botman, not this past few months, but overall, I think he's a top talent. But if you're going to give me $100 million for him and say, he has $300 million, saying 3-4 players, yeah, top class players,
I'd take that, like, yeah.
I'm taking it.
I say, I think 80 is the sort of minimum. I think 80 is where you start having discussions. Aye. But as soon as someone offers you triple figures, like, bang,
bang.
No worries.
All our physios, Magnums in disguise. Look that way without Neil.
You know what it is? This has just been Newcastle's past. Like, as far as I can remember, we've always had bad injuries. I don't know if it's what surface we're
playing. It's that Benton training ground, man. We spent $10 million on it. It's still like, injuries all over. Case.
Just even, like, way, way back in the day, like your Kieran Dyer days, like, I just feel like Newcastle's always had a bad history of injuries.
Aye. Like, we really have.
Like, your Dyers, your Owens, your Woodgates, like,
even when Clivert and Luke came, yeah, big names.
Everyone just gets injuries, and I just feel like this is just such a Newcastle thing.
Nah.
Like, no one's safe. It's like being in the fucking Walking Dead.
No one's safe.
No one's guaranteed. Game of Thrones in this bitch.
Nah, it really is. I mean, we need to build it on new land, man. It's been built on fucking haunted burial grounds or something, our training ground, like the way the injuries are. Yo from Atlanta.
Yo!
B-Rose. Not D-Rose, B-Rose.
B-Rose.
Last couple of questions then before we sign out. Thank you everyone that has left a comment on tonight's live stream. How much would you accept for prawn bong stuff? Good one, Tony. That's what I expect from you.
I like that.
Prawn bong stuff. Fucking kind of, I would do me nice. You like kind of blame faith would be a good deal for prawn stuff. Sell long stuff to Saudi, says Clon Lad.
I mean,
15 million, says Tactical Marzal.
How much?
15 million. 15 million with a price tag you'd want to try and get. 15, 20. Honestly, I think he'd go for about seven and a half.
Seven.
Oh. 10 at a push. Because I'm telling you now, I said it last night, man. Name me a team in the Premier League that's not in the bottom three that Longstaff gets a game for. I'll get the table up.
But again, like, nah, I'm not fucking having that. Like, he loves Longstaff, this one. I'm fighting you right here, right now. But no,
Right, so does Longstaff get a game for Nottingham Forest?
Yeah.
Nah, he doesn't, like. Not ahead of who's the midfield again?
So that midfield. Yeah, I can't really name that team.
I'd rather have fucking John Joe Shelby back.
Like again, it's
Everton,
just
Onana, nope. Brentford, what's he called?
Probably not Everton.
Palace with thingy in there. Bournemouth, Fulham with I forgot everyone's name in the Premier
League.
Maybe not
Fulham. Yeah, yeah, I know.
To be fair, he probably does get into Forest. Maybe Everton's been linked with him. But the point is, below teams that are 13th, 14th, he doesn't get anywhere near any Wolves team, Chelsea, Brighton, West Ham, Man U, Spurs, the teams that are in and around us. None of them are starting Sean Longstaff. He's gone back to Canada with his brother, says Ben. Big up Matty. Done well. Got an assist for Toronto on his debut.
So when he's good, and again, form's temporary, and he's on a bad run at the minute, I guess, but he's one of them like underrated players that like nobody really gives any credit to. But when he's playing good, he just helps the team tick along like so much better. He's never going to go for like the 50 that like Man United were rumored to have like when he first came through. But I think like when he's good, like he's just one of them players that just really does go underrated. I think especially if you sell to an English team, that English tax probably boosts it up a little bit. So under 10 million, I wouldn't fucking have that in the slightest. Like,
isn't he playing? He'll keep him as a squad.
Exactly. Like, I think squad depth, like, I think he's an amazing player just to kind of keep for the next 3 years while the team develops. I think having, like, especially Geordie born without sentiment, I think having someone like a Geordie who's really good for squad depth, who is one of them underrated players that does all this sort of shitty, gritty work that no one really wants to do. I think his value is more than what it is, especially when it was under Steve Bruce, because literally you would just get rid of him as a free agent. Literally, a fucking can of beer would have done me. But what Eddie Howe's done to him, I think he's better than that. I think he's worth more than 15 million, but yeah, how much more? I don't know, 25, 30.
I'd be fucking buzzing if we could get that much. If
we got that, that would be amazing. That's me. That's tops. So yeah, 20, 25. I think that's his average at best.
Kenny reminded here of Forest midfield, Sangara, Gibbs White, and Keoghty. He's getting anywhere near them. Tell you what, we're swapping for Gibbs White or Forest.
Yeah, but Gibbs White isn't really like centre mid though, is he? He doesn't do the job that Sean Longstaff does. They're very different players.
Forest loves saying no players. Gibbs White and Longstaff swap deal. Tell you what, they took Chris Wood and Jelga Barnes.
True, right?
Have Longstaff. You can have Longstaff, you can have Bain, you can have Almiron, get them all in.
Yeah.
Swapsies. That'll do them for this week's podcast. We will be back next Tuesday. Every Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Live at 7. International break next week, I believe, isn't it? FA Cup this week, break, and then West Ham on the 30th, I think is our next big chat.
Is that the next one after?
The week international break next week. So it's getting you team off, this Thursday. Yeah. Early kickoff, half 12. For that one.
Big wrestling event on here at Anarchy.
On that day.
Geordie Rick may well be at.
We might well be. Tell you what, Geordie Rick wants to go out at 10 o'clock in the morning, so I don't think he's meeting the match. I mean, wrestling. But we'll be back next week. We are going to get some special guests on the podcast as well very soon. So keep your eyes peeled or your ears open for that one. Ready for it. Mm-hmm. Spotify, if you've been listening on Spotify, make sure you drop a follow on the podcast there and give a 5-star review if you don't mind. Thank you very much.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice, that. And any other platform you're listening on, Google Podcasts, any other ones that are out there, let me know. Follow, hit the like button, subscribe on YouTube, and enjoy yourself.